Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One goal tonight for the Buffalo Sabres. Back-to-back dreadful losses to bad teams. After losing by 4 to the Rangers, they lose by 3 tonight against the Devils. And a team that had nothing to play for, in the end, ends up beating Buffalo by 3. And a goaltender that was 1-17-4 in his last 22 decisions stymies the Buffalo Sabres tonight. As we welcome you inside our Amherst studios, this is the Paul William Belt Sabres postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for being with us. I'm sure phone calls will be fun tonight here as we get things started on the postgame show. Yeah, is it now officially done for you in terms of realistic playoff discussion? Is it done? It feels that way. It has not been something that I'd like to admit as they continue to fall in the standings. And by the way, we're a few minutes away from maybe having another team pass them as Philadelphia might be on their way to victory in Detroit. We'll keep you posted on that. There are still, I do the math. I look and I say, all right, there's still, after tonight's game, 24 games left. 24, that's a lot. That means there's 48 points up for grabs. And the Sabres are only 6 back. But it feels like a mountain of points right now. There is just so much of a difference in terms of the team that we saw play back in November to the team that we are seeing now. And I don't think, if you're a smart Sabre fan, that you really thought the team that we saw in November was them going to be that way for the entire year. But I also did not think it would get to this point where we just see a lack of finish, and even on nights when you're playing against a very, very poor team, you figure, okay, this team is still better. They'll figure a way out, or figure it a way to get it done, and they just could not tonight. Corey Schneider has been awful this year. The Amerks beat him twice, and he stymies the Sabres tonight. It was not for a lack of chance. They had it tonight, but some speedy plays by Miles Wood and Kyle Palmieri end up costing the Sabres in this one, at least in terms of the goals against. And then on the other end, you know, who else is going to score again besides the Sabres' top line? It gets one. You know, there's probably a couple of other opportunities for the Sabres' top line to score tonight, but no one else contributing one goal against the Devils is just unacceptable. And they lose 4-1. 803-0550 is the number, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 is the toll-free line. Phil Housley's post-game comments are coming up. We know Housley the other night called his team soft, said his team is not working. We'll see what he says tonight. That's coming up in a few minutes. Paul Hamilton is standing outside the Sabres dressing room, so we'll get player reaction coming up here any moment to this loss in New Jersey tonight. And it seemed as though now, I mean, the homestand was very, very disappointing. There was some good and bad throughout. To get half was very disappointing. They only get 7 of 14 points. But then here, at least a stretch, I thought maybe they could salvage it, playing the Rangers, the Devils, and the Panthers, three teams that are out of it, three teams that are really struggling to score, and they have dropped both of them by 4 and 3 goal margins. And that is not good. And this team is not heading in the right direction. I would say that, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that they didn't look like their effort was maybe better or that they weren't soft. But, I mean, at some point it comes down to finishing. And they did not. And the top line had chances to maybe get another one or two. At some point you'd like somebody else to finish one. Speaking of that, here's Zemgus Girgensen. He leads it off live in New Jersey.
Well, yeah. I feel like we do our best every game. I thought we brought the effort today. It was just, as I said, just those couple of mistakes.
So I guess it wasn't that you didn't play. I mean, it wasn't a horrible game, but was there enough urgency?
No, I think the effort was there. I think we still can be more aggressive in our D zone and just to close on guys quicker. But at the end of the day, it was just a couple of mistakes that cost us.
Zemgus Girgensons in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Zemgus Girgensons, a man there with not many words, but he did think that the effort was there. Talked about being a little bit more aggressive along the way. Sabres fall 4-1 to New Jersey here as we are live on the post game show. Paul Hamilton in the locker room. Let's go back now. Here's Sam Reinhart live with Paul.
Sam, as you looked at the game, it wasn't a horrible game. You guys had over 30 shots in the game, but was there enough overall urgency, did you feel, by the team?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a couple mistakes that wind up in the back of our net. I think for the most part the urgency was there. It's a couple mistakes that wind up in our net. I make a couple plays I would like back, and it's tough to swallow right now.
You had some great opportunities on Schneider. Do y'all need to bear down more, or because you certainly had plenty of chance to score on him?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't feel like we got enough to him. I think I looked up in the third, and we did have quite a few shots, but from what I gather, it wasn't too many second and third opportunities around him. So I think we got to focus more on maybe keeping him a little more simple and getting more bodies to the net, to make those second and third opportunities difficult on him.
Are you guys, just about toast here? I mean, effort-wise, you say it's there, but, I mean, you're 6 points out. You show no signs of putting together a winning streak.
Are we toast?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a situation you lost to the 30th-place team. I mean, where does this team stand at this point? The coach just called you soft Friday.
That's one way you guys look at it, but no, we certainly feel right in the mix. We have another opportunity in a couple days. Doesn't make it easier with other teams winning, but no, we don't feel we're toast at all. It doesn't take much to turn around, but at the end of the day, we got to bear down and we need to start putting up more points soon. So we're focused on getting back and getting ready for the Panthers, because that's another opportunity for us to put on points. But right now it's tough to swallow.
Sam Reinhart in the post game, and Zach Bogosian is coming into the room now, so I'll hold it here. Zach, opportunities were certainly there to get back in the game and score, but do y'all just need to bear down more to start capitalizing on those opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, we had our chances. I thought we played hard. I thought it was a pretty back and forth game, even though the score was what it was. I thought we had our chances. We were in it there late in the game, and obviously, Paul Mary scores that goal. It's a bit of the nail in the coffin, but I thought we were in it.
Was there enough urgency? And I asked that question. Even the goal where you sprawl to try to block the pass to Wood, you should have some backdoor help there, and you don't get any. Was there enough team urgency?
Yeah, I mean that play. Breakdowns are going to happen. I don't know. I haven't even seen the goal or what happened really, but we have to be there for each other. Breakdowns are going to happen. That's part of the game.
I have to ask you, in the pregame, looked like he showed up right in your face. What happened with all that?
Oh, we bumped into each other. Just crossed up skates a little bit, but that's about it.
Zach, you guys are last in the East since January 1st. Is this kind of who you are at this point? I mean, you're last in the East for a month and a half stretch. I mean, do you guys even feel you're in a playoff race at this point?
Yeah, we do.
Do you feel there's any signs to show you can beat it? You haven't won two in a row in 2 months.
Yeah. We're confident in each other. Are you?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. You say you're confident in each other. What makes you think that this team could pull something out?
Because of the guys we have in our room. I know the character that we have in this room. That's what I believe in. I believe in every single guy in here.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Bogosian in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay. Zach Bogosian saying that he feels confidence. Reinhart saying they're not toast in the playoff race. As we get some player reaction here after this 4-1 New Jersey victory over the Buffalo Sabres, all of our blue and gold locker report interviews brought to you by Fidelis Care, quality health coverage. It's our mission. Visit FideliscCare.org. One goal is just not going to cut it. I mean, against New Jersey, Paul was asking continuously about urgency. They all said they had it. You heard Mike Harrington there from the Buffalo News ask about whether or not this team in the playoffs, you know, they feel they're actually in the playoff race, mentioning how that, you know, they've last in the East in points since the start of the year. Bogosian took exception, you know, as you'd want him to. I don't think he's going to sit there and say, yeah, we're done. But, you know, our job, I guess you'd say, as hosts and reporters is try to be objective about it. And boy, it just, this does not look like a team that is at all, as we like to say in this time of year, what, playing your best hockey? I mean, they're playing their worst hockey. They have not won two in a row since December. They've not won two in a row in regulation since October. Where is the winning streak? The Sabres getting one goal. And, you know, when I asked Paul after the second period, what do they need to do more here to maybe get over this Devils team? And he said urgency. And, you know, urgency to finish. Was it there? Maybe. It's just, it's very hard to believe that a goaltender that was 1-17-4 was playing in the AHL, Rochester beat him twice, is that going to be that dominant against you if at some point maybe you're just, are you focusing on bearing it down? Are you playing your best? Are you playing with confidence? And I think the answer is no to all those. They're not able to get it done. Phil Housley's postgame comments will be coming up here, so stick with us. It was must listen to the other night when he called the team soft, when he called the team a team that didn't work. So we'll see how that sounds here coming up. My guess is he'll probably be happy with the effort. If Paul asks about urgency, I'm guessing he's going to say it was there. If Mike Harrington asks again about the playoff race, are they done? My guess is, again, he'll say that they're in it. And technically, mathematically, they're right. They're in it. They're six out. Montreal is not playing great. They could be on their way to losing their fourth in a row. Last check of that score, well, it's 3-3 now, so Montreal is in Florida. By the way, that's Buffalo's next opponent, Florida, on Tuesday. So that's a 3-3 game. Philadelphia has just won, so you can put another team now at 63 points with the Sabres. Montreal, 69. Pittsburgh, 69. Those are the two wildcard teams. You've got Carolina with 68, and now Philadelphia and Buffalo with 63. The Flyers just continuing to play well. 9-1-1 in their last 11 games. The Flyers have won three in a row. They are playing very well. And Florida is not in the playoff race. They are not having a good year. But the Sabres seem to struggle with this team. Not to add to negatively looking ahead, I think they've lost six or seven in a row to Florida. So for whatever reason, the Panthers have been a team that they've had trouble with. And then guess what? If maybe you even get through them and you're thinking, okay, finally, chance to win two in a row. Oh, you got to go to Tampa to face the best team in the NHL by far. Tampa has 92 points. That is 16 better than anybody else in the East. 15 better than anybody in the entire NHL. They are a very, very good team. They are definitely the Stanley Cup favorite. But for now, the Sabres are worrying about just beating teams like the Rangers and the Devils and the Panthers. To even be thinking about Tampa at this point seems to be a big stretch here as Buffalo falls tonight by a 4-1 score. While we wait for Phil Housley, we know some of you are getting on board, 803-0550. After Phil Housley, we will get to your calls. So if you're there, stick on hold. But we've got to sit here and wait for the coach as we are expecting him any moment. Shots in the third. Well, before we get to the shots, here's Phil Housley. Let's go live to New Jersey with Paul.
Phil, you had over 30 shots in that game. Did you have enough traffic around the net to be able to get more than one goal?
I think there's at times, and especially in the third period, we could have gotten to the net a little bit more. I'm disappointed. I thought we played a pretty hard game. You know, we get that goal in the second period, late in the second. We really get some jump from that. And then from that point, we have some tremendous momentum. We have some really good shifts in their end. That's when the times when we got those pucks low to high, we need one guy in front of the net. Or if we're cycling or coming driving out of cycle, you know, we just let Schneider see too many pucks. But it's still a one-goal game from that point. And at those critical times, we just got to, you know, now we got to defend. You know, they get that all-important third goal, and that sort of hurt us.
Do you need more desperation, like on the Wood goal? Wood comes back, and the guy back-checking doesn't quite get there. Do you need more desperations in play like that?
I thought we played with desperation. That was just an assignment that we missed. You know, it starts way before that. We mismanaged the puck, and that's... but from that point, when the puck gets turned over, we just got to pick up Woods. He's coming up from the weak side. We just didn't notice it in the time.
No team's got to play perfect. Does it seem like you have to play perfect in order to win?
I just felt that we did a lot of good things with the puck again. We didn't get the break we needed. We got tip-ins. We got rebounds. We hit a post. But we can't get away from our game. Like, it's a one-goal game. I feel that we're right there, you know, in the third period. We're our possession time, our zone time, we had some momentum. We had some really good shifts. We just didn't cash in. So from that point, we've just got to remain and stay the course. We can't when we have to defend, and then we can come back and get a breakout or regroup and get back into their zone.
We've seen in these games a bunch of situations where you guys have broken at a bad time. I mean, what leads you to believe you can put anything together at this point?
I believe in our group.
I believe in these guys. They came back. They responded the right way. They were ready to play. It wasn't our night. And I know that's disappointing, but we've got a big game against Florida. You know, we're still in this thing. We're still fighting, and that's the way we're going to look at it.
Do you feel like you're still in it, or does it feel like it's slipping away?
I believe in this group. I think they did all the things that took necessary to win a hockey game. We didn't come out on top. We're still in the fight. We're going to get ready for Florida. It's going to be another big game for us.
What's your impression of Casey Middlestad's season so far?
I think he did a really good job tonight using his feet, trying to create offense, coming through the neutral zone. He had some really good looks coming back off his injury, and he's going to continue to develop. He's moving in the right direction.
Phil Housley in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Phil Housley, his live post game comments brought to you by Paul William Bell. It's your power of attorney. 4-1, New Jersey, Buffalo. This one feels really, really, really tough. We'll take your phone calls when we return. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. For all of our local affiliates, we'll say goodnight to you. If you want to listen to more of the postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo, phone calls when we return. Sabres fall in New Jersey to the Devils. 4-1 the final. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Back to the point it comes, and a shot by McCann just went wide. Devils getting it back and giving it away. Eichel camped behind the net. Eichel looking for the open man. Got it out in front. The shot right on. Snyder to save.
One of the many times the Sabres had a look and couldn't beat Corey Schneider tonight. As we call that one, the save of the game, brought to you by Geico Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Brian Colziel here back on the Paul William Belts postgame. 4-1 New Jersey. Final shot totals 35 for Buffalo as they get 11 in the third. 24 for New Jersey. They end up with just 6 in the third. Power plays. Sabre power play could have helped. 0 of 3. New Jersey goes 1 of 2. The losing goaltender, Carter Hutton, 23 shots, 20 saves. The 24th shot went into the empty net. Corey Schneider played very well, 35 shots. He made 34 saves. Your three stars are all from the Devils. Star number three is Bratt. Star number two is Palmieri. He had a good game. Star number one is Schneider. Corey Schneider, who is 1-17-4 in his last 22 decisions, is the high-impact player of the game. Brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at Prudential Center, I actually thought they were into it. 16,514. Sabres next play in Florida against the Panthers on Tuesday. Okay, let's try some phone calls here. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 is the number. We will try Mike in Lockport first. Hi, Mike, go ahead. You're on the postgame.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm going to answer your question. I'm wrapping the season up. They're toast. If you look at the next three games, you got Florida, Tampa Bay, Washington. You really think they're going to come out with 6 points, the way they're playing now, no way. I would say you got a coach on the shelf right now, Joe Quenneville. Why not make a change now? You're obviously going to be out of it at the end of the season. I would take the change and forget about the season now. Sign Skinner, wrap it up.
All right, Mike, thank you. Yeah, the thing here is, look, I think that if you are a smart fan and you don't get caught up in the emotion of it, which is tough not to do because the team winning 10 in a row is exciting. There hasn't been much excitement around this franchise for like a decade, so I get it. I was excited too, being in the building, hearing the noise in KeyBank Center for the first time in a long time, hearing the buzz around town. It was pretty fun. But they were winning a lot of those games by just a goal, and some of them you could say were, you know, just the odds going in their way. Fine. I didn't expect them to stay on top of the league, but this free fall since the start of January, and Mike Harrington brought it up, they are the worst team in terms of the East in terms of points since January 1st. That is not good. That is not where we needed to be. That is what you would call a team that should be in last, and that's where Ottawa and New Jersey are. And the Sabres have been in last, and that's what landed them Rasmus Dahlin. And I did not expect the free fall to be that way. And a lot of that has to, at some point, fall on the coach. How can you expect to be excited about a team that has performed essentially at last place level for the last 2 months? That's not a good look on Housley at all. And for Jason Botterill and for Phil Housley to ask for patience for Sabre fans, we know is near impossible because it's been bad for a decade. But when you look just at this group of Mittelstadt and Dahlin and Eichel and now Skinner with this group and some of the other youngsters that are playing, I think if you just see growth and you just see promise and you just feel like, okay, each game, each week, each month, we're seeing progress. We're seeing growth. We're getting better and better. The mistakes that were being made in September and October, they're being cut down as the year goes on. Some of the guys, in terms of their decision-making, we're seeing better decisions as the year goes on. And the response to Housley about effort and energy and finishing and all the shot mentality, all his words that he likes to throw out there, basically his coaching points, are those coming on a more regular basis. No hockey team, because they're human beings and they play way too much, are going to be able to do it every night for all three periods for all 60 minutes. But just for a trend, are you seeing it at least heading in the positive direction? And for the Sabres, it's going in the exact opposite direction, and that's too bad right now because there's a lot of things to be excited about with this team, including Rasmus Dahlin, who I still think is going to be an incredible player in this league. And Casey Mittelstadt is super young. Let's remember, he was playing high school hockey a year and a half ago. There's a lot to be excited about with this team. Jeff Skinner might be with the Sabres for 7 or 8 seasons upcoming. And if he plays anything close to like he did this year, that's super exciting. And maybe that's going to bring out the best in Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart. And it'll be one of the dominating lines in the league. But after that, there's a lot to get annoyed at. And the rest of those groups, after Eichel, Reinhart, Skinner, Dahlin, after, and maybe Mittelstadt, and then the rest, and unfortunately there's still a lot of players left, there's not much to be excited about. And a lot of them are trending downward, and you're not seeing growth, and you're not seeing progress. And you could rattle up and down all these guys that have kind of just been on the team. If anything, they're getting worse. Žemgis Girgensons comes to mind, getting worse. Vladimir Sobotka, okay, he's part of the throw-in in the deal. Can he at least be somewhat of a role player? All right, in October, I guess he can be somewhat of a role player. November, well, this guy's really not that good. December, January, February, oh my God, he's awful. That's kind of, you know, where I'm at with him. And do we have other players maybe that are stepping up? Is some of the defense maybe getting better? No, not really. Rasmus Ristolainen continues to be very, very, very inconsistent. Jake McCabe, there's some games I like him. There's some games that he looks like a fifth or a sixth guy. There's just, you'd like to see more progress, more consistency. I don't think anyone, any Sabre, any realistic Sabre fan is expecting them to play like they did in the month of November. But to be the worst in the league for 2 months now here, the worst in the East, that is not acceptable. And that looks very poor on Housley. And I'm not going to sit here and say they need to make a coaching change, but I can guarantee you that after this first call just said it, I can guarantee you if you look at my Twitter timeline and you look at these calls coming up, there are fans that are ready to make the change. And I hate thinking about that because another coaching change means another start over. It feels like at the very least. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe if Joel Klenville does come in because he has experience and he has Stanley Cups, maybe it doesn't have to be a start over. But right now it feels like there is so much trending in the wrong direction that the things that there are to be excited about, well, they're just getting drowned out. 4-1 New Jersey, Sabres fall to one of the worst teams in the league. We go back to the phones here at 803-0550. All right, Bobby, we'll go to you next in the Falls. Hi, Bobby, go ahead.
Hi, from Niagara Falls, Bri. You kind of covered some of this, but if Terry Pegula came up to you and said, look, I want you as a consultant now. I want you to tell me what to do for the future from the top down. If he said, what should I do now? If he said, I can't take it anymore, what would you tell him from the top down? What would your answer be?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Yeah, I mean, I think I just answered some of them. I think you'd have to probably start with letting Phil Housley finish the season and then having the discussion of, do you have the right coach? Do you have the right guy? Do you feel like you've seen enough growth out of him? He is a guy that's coaching for the first time these past two seasons. Have you seen enough growth out of him to think that you want to go forward with him? I think that's the first decision. And if Jason Botterill is asking me what to do next, then I'm saying that there are some players on this team that I like, including a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, but if you can get something very valuable for him, I think it's time to shake that up. And if you have to trade guys that maybe will still have value in Rochester, like Brendan Gulley and Nylander, then I think you have to go and do it. At this point, don't wait and do what Darcy Regier did, was wait and wait and hope, and all of a sudden their value goes down enough to the point where you can't get anything for them. I always feel like the biggest mistake Darcy Regier made was when he had that three-headed monster of Norrin and Baron and Miller, and you know every single hockey scout and expert in the world was saying, wow, the Sabres have the greatest collection of goalie prospects you know, in modern memory, and he just kept them all. And at some point, Norrin lost value, and then later on, Baron lost value, and then, well, Miller was the guy they wanted all along, and well, he kept him, and he played great, but you could have unloaded both of them to get really good stuff, and they ended up waiting too long to the point, well, that it was kind of a waste of time. And I hope that if there's any value in Gulley and if there's any value in Nylander, that you might go ahead and move them and go ahead and see if you can get something for them just to shake up this team up front. No one's going to really want Vladimir Sobotka. No one's going to really want Zemgus Girgensons. No one is clamoring at the bit here to take Kyle Okposo's contract off your hands. But even if you turn him into a draft pick at this point, at least this means maybe somebody else from Rochester can come up and play. And I'm not saying that they're going to solve anything, but at this point, to just see these guys continue to do the same thing over and over, it's tough. And that's a more of a long-term decision, but I think you got to start somewhere. Thank you, Bobby. Rich is with us now here on the postgame. Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Brian, how you doing?
All right.
I've been watching this team since the mid-70s, and I have to say right now, it's almost like the tank time. I mean, Housley calls his team out the other night. We're soft. And this is how they respond to him with a 4-1 egg. It's time that he has to go. He has to go tomorrow. I don't even care about making the playoffs anymore. It's just like, it's the same thing over and over and over that you were just talking about. This guy's over his head. They're not even playing for him after tonight. It's obvious. He's got to go. And other than Dahlin, I'll be honest with you, even Eichel might even be a trade bait. I mean, he hasn't done nothing. As everybody talks about how great he is, where the heck is he? He hasn't done anything. I don't see no two goals, three goals. I don't see him really doing anything. And the thing that really stinks is these guys have the most robotic answers in the locker room after getting killed. No emotion at all. And it's just like, oh, we're here for each other. And it's just like these guys are just nothing but plain vanilla robots, and something's got to be done because what's going to happen is this. Season's over. Pegula's going to thank the fans for being loyal, and he's going to raise prices again. And it's the same thing over and over and over.
Thank you, Rich. I don't think Eichel will be traded. They invested quite a bit to get him. But I sense your frustration. So thank you for the call. 4-1 New Jersey, victorious. Brian Colziel here on the postgame. All right. Next, Troy, we'll give you a shot here. Hi, Troy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian.
Hi.
So I just listening to Phil Housley after every game, like, it's just, you hear him and he's like, you know, I think we played with grit. I think we played, you know, I think we played pretty good hockey for these amount of periods. I think this, I think that. It's like, I didn't see any grit. I didn't see any enthusiasm in that game. I watched just now. And it's like what are these guys saying? Like, it's just.
Yeah, I think that, thank you, Troy. I think they don't know what to say. I really do. Unfortunately, Reinhart and Bogosian have been there to answer these questions now for years. It's not just this year, these past 2 months. You know, Darlene is fresh to Sabre losing culture here. Casey Mittelstadt is fresh to it. Some of these guys have been around here for a long part of it. And you wonder if it's starting to catch up with them to the fact of just, well, this is just kind of what it is around here. Here we go again, that mentality. More calls coming up here. Let's get the highlights in for period three because we need to. Not that you need to relive it. It was 2-1 New Jersey entering the third. Buffalo not able to finish things off on the offensive end and on the defensive end. Eventually, Kyle Palmieri going by Lawrence Pilot and beating Carter Hutton for his 26th of the year to put the Devils up by two.
Getting to center and tapping it on in. It goes on into the corner and a shot. They score! Fired in on the short side by Palmieri off the goal post, and the Devils have their two-goal lead back again.
It's amazing for the Winnipeg game, the Ranger game, the Devil game. They all, almost the thirds, felt the same. Pressure, no finish. Pressure, no finish. And then with around 5 or so minutes to go, a mistake and a goal, and it gets pushed to what feels like an insurmountable amount of goal differential. I'm exhausted for thinking about what happens here in these games here. Palmieri at 14:09. Yes, it felt like it's over. That's what I meant to say. And it was. A few minutes later, officially, the empty netter for Anderson.
And now the Devils coming up with a nothing but net, and it's shot, and they score. Fired all have taken a 4-1 lead as Anderson potted the empty net goal.
Well, that sealed it for New Jersey. The big moment of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. 4-1 Devils, that's your final. Sabres lose one that you feel like they just could not lose. All of our game highlights delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. All right, more calls here, 803-0550. Brian Colziel with you here on the Paul William Belts postgame. Brian in Williamsville is next. Hi, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, agree with you. It doesn't matter who's in that. One guy has a 9-1-0 save percentage, and 35, the other one who played tonight has a 9-0-9 effort tonight. Also, I started to call people from Rochester. I get a good look at what we do have. I think Housley should be around one more year. I really do. I think we should give him one more year. And then, if you want to fire him and look at Joel Quenneville. And just tell Joel Quenneville, wait one more year, and then we'll bring you on in.
All right, thank you, Brian. I would guess, if there's any interest from Jason Bottrell on Joel Quenneville, that Phil Housley couldn't be the team, couldn't be the coach starting next season. My guess is Quenneville will have an offer from somebody this offseason. His resume is too good. He's had too much success too recently that, as we know, teams change coaches quite a bit here in this league. I would guess if Bottrell has his eye on him, that the trigger is going to have to happen soon, if not very soon as the regular season comes to an end. Because my guess is you leave it over a summer, there's going to be definitely other teams changing coaches. My guess is you can't wait until a slide next November when the Sabres get off to a bad start to go hope that he's still there. That's my two cents on it. Greg, you're next here on the postgame. Hi, Greg, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, just had one question or whatever. Yeah, as I was watching the game, we had that power play with 3.5 minutes left, and I didn't realize we had pulled the goalie until New Jersey kind of chucked the puck down the ice in their end. And I was just kind of surprised that, you know, with 3.5 minutes left and over a minute left in the power play, we're going to pull our goalie and not really give, you know, those guys in the ice, you know, take the one-man advantage. So I was kind of surprised. And at that point, I've been vouching one more year for Housley. That's how I always am with coaches, give them 3 years. But I was, you know, kind of surprised. It was like a kind of a last-ditch effort for Housley, or, you know, really kind of pushing the envelope there. And I don't know, I just didn't agree with that move, and I thought that really, you know, cost our chances. I mean, we could have gotten a goal there rather than, you know, being down 4-1, could be down 3-2 and maybe pulling the goalie with a minute and a half left and seeing what we can do with that. But that's kind of my thought. I'd like to hear your take on it.
Thank you, Greg. I wonder if, because the power play has been struggling, that maybe he thought, I'll roll the dice and make it 6-on-4, give my guys a better chance here. I mean, they haven't obviously been tearing it up over the last month on the power play, so I thought maybe that's what he's thinking. I also wonder if it's a one goal. In fact, I would say probably if it's definitely just a one goal deficit that he doesn't pull his goalie on the power play. Because it was 2, I guess my thought is, you know, it's 6-on-4. You should be able to keep the puck in. This really maybe improves our odds to get it to 3-2. We still need another one. So I guess I don't have a major issue with it. I think with a 6-on-4, you'd like to think that you could keep at least control of it enough that the Devils wouldn't have a free look at the net, but nevertheless, they obviously did, and they got it. So I guess you could argue either side, but they haven't been very consistent on the power play either, so maybe he's looking to jumpstart it with that move. I guess if you're looking for an explanation on why he did it, I guess maybe that's it. I think probably more so, not even whether or not you think the power play needed a jump or not. I think the fact that it was a 2-goal deficit, he thought, okay, I need to get one not only on this power play, but the sooner the better, so I have enough time then to try to get another one. Thanks for the call. 803-0550, 4-1 New Jersey. Sabres falling in this one in a game that it really feels like they had to have. Florida is up next. And then Tampa, that's the next 2 games, Tuesday and Thursday. Of course, you'll hear both games right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Jim is up next. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, 2 points. First, in terms of the coach, here's what I would like to see. I like to see them elevate Chris Taylor. I really like what I hear from him. I like what I hear his players say about him. I think he gets it. And I would love to see that move happen. I'm not a Phil Housley fan. I don't think he's the answer. And then to the next point, your number one place where you have to start is with the defense on this team, right? And I'm going to call out 3 guys, Scandella, Bogosian, Rasmus Ristolainen. These are supposed to be your 3 best defensemen. And I watch these guys night in and night out make rookie mistakes consistently. I'm not talking about, they don't do it once in a while. It's consistent where they're just bungling plays. Zach Bogosian can't seem to make a tape pass. You know, the nights that are...
Well, he had a good one tonight. That was the only goal. He passed it to Reinhardt, but...
He did.
Go ahead, keep going.
And my other point is, the nights when our transition game looks so god-awful is because our D-men, them 3 in particular, cannot get the puck out of the zone cleanly. And it's a reoccurring theme. It's nonstop, and I don't know what you do. Can you do something with Ristolainen? Yeah, you can. Somebody will want him. The other two, I don't know what you do. You're buried with the terrible contracts.
Yeah, I think you're right on Ristolainen. If Jason Botterill feels like I'm ready to hit the reset button there, he'll definitely have takers. Ristolainen has value. I think he has value on the Sabres. It's just that it's an up and down wire act that you have to balance with him. And sometimes I like to argue that his good still outweighs his bad, but ultimately for what you're counting on him for with the amount of ice time that he plays, I can understand maybe wanting to move him. And because he does have value, that's the reason that maybe you'd say, look, I'm going to get a forward or another D, a different type of D back that has some upside as well, that maybe another team's looking for a guy that's looking for a reset. I think there's definitely value there. Bogosian is, I think, a guy that at times offensively, I'm like, okay, that's why he had value in that Winnipeg deal, that pass he made to Reinhart tonight. But then there's times that he looks older and slower in his own end. Scandella, to me, I don't know if there's much there of a market for him. Again, contract there. I think I would value Bogosian over Scandella. If you're asking me, say, hey, you're four, you can't get rid of them all. You got to pick one. I'd pick Bogosian before I'd pick Scandella. 803-0550, 41 New Jersey. We'll take a few more calls here on our Paul William Belts postgame. Next is Paul. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey, fact of the matter, if Jeff Skinner is still on this roster after the trade deadline and he's not under contract at that point, Jason Bottrell ought to be fired. Because you talk about return. Which playoff team isn't salivating over the thought of adding a 36-goal scorer right now?
Everything we're hearing, you're right. Everything, though, we are hearing is that Skinner and the Sabres are trending in the direction of having a contract. We haven't heard anything from anyone, any reporter, anyone inside or outside the organization say anything that it wasn't on its way. So if I can talk you off the ledge on Skinner, it sounds like it's getting done. Yes, I understand that when dates start to occur on the calendar, you might start to worry to think, uh-oh, are they going to mess this up? Because the organization in the past has messed things up, i.e. Chris Drury and Danny Briere. But that's a long time ago. That was a different GM. You'd like to think that Bottrell's not going to mess this one up. At the very least, so far, I've got faith that he'll get it done. Skinner has said all the right things. We've heard publicly that both sides seem to be on the same page, so you can't get that thought in my head that Skinner's not, that they're going to mess that up. Thanks for the call, Paul. Few more here on the post game. Sabres fall 4-1. Let's go to James next. Hi, James. Go ahead. You're on the post game.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I'd just like to talk about the goalie being pulled with 3 minutes left. You know, no one on the ice knew that the goalie was being pulled. Even Rob Ray said, you know, the guy just shot it up there, not even knowing. I think he was just shooting it down there, and it just happened to go in. You know, if you're going to pull the goalie in that situation, which I personally don't agree with, shouldn't everyone on the ice know? And, like, for me, that's just a sign of bad coaching, and I...
Well, I would have to think, James, that they would have said, hey, if we win the draw or, hey, if we gain control, I'm going to have... I mean... If that doesn't happen, well, then, yes, that's definitely on Housley. But I would got to think that there's got to be a communication piece there. If you listened to earlier, maybe three, four callers ago, I said the fact that there was a two-goal deficit, I think that might have played into the fact as to why he decided to go 6-on-4 in that situation, because you still needed another one. So I think the 6-on-4, you figure, okay, I'm improving my odds to get one here, and I still need another one on a night that I can't seem to find one anyway. So that's my at least thought on why he ended up doing it.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah. It just seems to be problem after problem with Housley, and I think it's time for a change of scenery for the players and the administration just to make the push for the playoffs.
Thank you, James. Yeah, the playoffs, unfortunately, not looking good. Philly winning tonight, so they now have the same point total as Buffalo. By the way, the Sabres will play the Flyers next Tuesday, I believe. Toronto next Monday, right? Then Philly next Tuesday. That could be another pass, a team that's passing Buffalo very quickly. Then after that, I mean, is there anybody starting to look at the bottom? I don't know. Should we do that? We're not going there yet, right? Hey, how many teams can pass the Sabres here in the next month? Are the Sabres going to have great odds in the lottery again? Should we have that discussion?
No, because Ottawa exists.
Yeah, Ottawa does exist. The Rangers, though, beat the Sabres. They're only points back. Could be another team that could pass them. And then you've only got New Jersey, Ottawa, and Detroit left. Well, Florida, who knows? All right, I'm not going to have that conversation. We've had enough pain tonight. Let's try another one here. Bill. Hi, go ahead, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Push for the playoffs is over. They're pathetic, and they can't even win two games in a row. They're an embarrassment. So forget about the playoffs. You're kidding yourself if you think they're going to make it. Hutton is got to go. I mean, he's got to make that third goal. I mean, come on, 9 out of 10 goalies make that save. 99 out of 100 of them make it, quite frankly. You know, cover the net up a little better and make the save, and it's a 2-1 game, and we're right in it. When Housie pulled the goalie, I feel that I'm sure the team knew about it too. You know what I mean? I think that Ray meant the other team didn't know about it, and nobody else. But
yeah, I think that's what he meant, Bill. I think you're right that because the
goalie was pulled at that time.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I thought he pulled him early, and with a guy with a man advantage, all they got to do is dump that puck down the ice and hope it goes into the net, and there's never any icing. So I kind of disagree with that strategy with the 3 minutes and change left on the clock. Try to score a goal with the man advantage, and then after you score a goal, pull the goalie and try to score another one. To me, that makes a lot more sense than what he did. And he makes a lot of questionable decisions, so I'm not quite crazy about him, quite frankly, but the real difference is it comes down to this team can't finish on the front end, they can't score when it really matters, and they can't make saves when it really matters. I mean, and that's really the bottom line.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't have I know this maybe the third or fourth call on the pulling the goalie early on the power play. I didn't have as big of a deal, or I didn't have that big of a problem with it because of the fact that they were down two, and you feel like you need anything to spark this team right now. Maybe a goal wakes them up. I don't know. Corey Schneider, you just look at what he's done these last few months, including playing in the AHL. And the fact that the Sabres made him look tremendous tonight, like that's very, very, very discouraging. No doubt. Our Sabres core group feature. How did the core group perform? Well, Eichel set up Reinhardt with Bogosian there. There's some core players. Other than that, not much good to report on either end. Give it a D+, C-. They did score the goal. Sabres core group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next move, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. Hey, do we, Kyle, can we get the deck of the game in here before we go? Our friends at Seneca Poker would appreciate it. Deck of the game time. Here's Rick Jenneret in the call.
Pass whipped up on the wing as far as center ice, now brought in over the line again. Gabriel dropped it back. He takes it out of the play rather rudely by Bogosian. They had something going during the warm-up tonight.
Yeah, Bogosian, Gabriel, they were chirping in warm-ups. Leads over there into the game. It's a Seneca Poker deck of the game, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca and Agger Casino, the real deal for winners only. All right, so New Jersey wins at 4-1. That's always a good sign, Derek, right? You know how if you follow me on Twitter, you know this, but Derek, you would know this as well. You know how I put out I try to listen as closely as I can and then tweet out some of the quotes from the locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good sign when my notification doesn't even show the actual number, it just says 99 plus?
You're at a 99 pluser?
Yeah. That's not good, right? Is that a warning, don't click here to avoid extra headache? Is that
You know what you do? You click it to clear it.
I know
don't
that
read it. And then you click home immediately. That's exactly what you do. Like sometimes if I fall behind on the notifications for the GR account.
I know the WGR account has had the 99 plus thing many times.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll click the notifications, don't read any of it. Have home, like before it loads, have your mouse over home already and then just hit it. So,
all right, I'm going to have to practice this here.
And then quit it. Did you see the goal by Barkov, by the way? The second one of the night for
him? I did not. Although they are showing hot. Did they just show it right now?
It's a fancy one. It helps them make it a 4-3 game, actually.
There's a big crowd in Florida tonight.
What, 14?
I don't know. I guess Montreal's there. There's probably some fans there. Canadians, winter snowbirds down there?
Yeah, probably. Here's this goal. He tucks it between his legs on a breakaway and it, behind the back.
That's nice.
It's a pretty sick. Slick play there with someone on him as well.
That's right. Doing it with someone coming in right behind him, swiping at the puck the whole time. That's pretty goal to beat Carey Price. 4-3 after two in Florida?
And that's the goal that makes it 4-3.
So if Montreal loses, that keeps them at 69. Pittsburgh 69, Columbus 69. Carolina now 68. That's the first team out. Then you've got Philadelphia and Buffalo with 63. For those that are still interested in the standings. I want to be because the math says They're close, although the math in me is dwindling in belief here.
I mean, it is a factual statement that they are still in this.
There's 24 games left.
Yeah.
24 games to make up 6 points.
Not to mention, and yes.
On just one team. It doesn't have to be three. Just on one of the teams that have 69. Just one of them.
Not to mention, yes, this is a bad time to bring this sort of thing up. But in the last 8 games, they play the Red Wings and Senators twice each. Not that they've done well against bad teams lately, but if they're still within some form of striking distance at the end of the season, well, stranger things have happened. I'm not putting any hopes into it, but I'm stating facts.
That's right. Well, I can go watch the NBA All-Star game. Team LeBron is in some trouble.
Oh, no. Poor Team LeBron.
Speaking of bad defense.
There we go.
70-some points halfway through the second quarter. So somebody's getting to 200 tonight, right, in the NBA All-Star game? What's
so
that on TNT?
Just about a, so right. What is that, a normal
I know that,
Rockets-Warriors game?
Fans would like an update on this, so I'm going to turn over to TNT here and give it. Of course, it's are they at the half?
It looks like they're at the half.
They're at the half. All right, TNT, graphic guy, put it up so I can see what the score is. Of course not. All right.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, maybe I am too much of an optimist that I still think that, you know, I'm going to remain interested in the playoff race and everything of the sort. But it's also just because the numbers are there. First things first, though, they need to win 2 games in a row.
Probably at some point they do need to win 2 in a row.
That'd be nice.
That's a fair point.
It'd be a nice thing. By the way, Florida, the next opponent, you asked me to dig this up, Brian.
Yes.
They broke a 7-game losing streak against the Panthers with their last game against Florida.
Thank you. That's right.
However, they've lost 7 of their last 8. They've lost 10 of their last 13 since 2016, and they have only 5 wins against the Panthers since 2014. Not great.
No. All right. Are we doing a scoreboard here, or are we good? Do you want to do it?
I mean, hey.
All right, let's do it.
We're already here.
That's right. Around the league, final time. Here's Derek Kramer.
Well, thank you, Brian. Around the League is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. As it was stated, the Flyers, Red Wings, Philly wins that one 3-1, moving past Buffalo due to a tiebreaker for regulation and overtime wins. That means Philly is now in 10th place in the Eastern Conference. Oscar Lindblom had 2 goals for Philly in that contest. Goals aplenty for the Canadiens and Panthers. Just another one scored just now to make it 5-3 for Florida. Jonathan Huberdeau scoring the latest one for the Panthers there. Meanwhile, out west, Capitals Ducks getting started with the first period just about a minute in there, and it's scoreless there between the Caps and Ducks. Anaheim has lost 20 of their last 23 games, so it could actually be worse, Brian. And then earlier today, the Penguins reclaimed the second wildcard spot with a 6-5 win over the Rangers, thanks for the help, New York. And the Blues winning their 10th in a row as the Sabres hold that first-round pick. They shut out the Wild 4-0. Big Four basketball from earlier today. Niagara beat Fairfield 78-73. Canisius, unfortunately, falling to Manhattan 70-65. With Around the NHL, I'm Derek Kramer. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Derek. 4-1 New Jersey defeating Buffalo. That's the final of our game. I'll next speak with you on Tuesday night with the Sabres in Sunrise, Florida at the BB&T Center for a meeting with the Panthers. Until then, we put a wrap on our Paul William Belts post-game show. Want to thank Kyle and Nick and Derek for all their work here in studio tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. Paul Hamilton, thank you down in Florida for your work. And for our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. Again, the final Devils 4, Sabres 1. We'll talk to you Tuesday night with the Sabres and the Panthers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.